You can't imagine how many people ask me about, question me about, talk to me about tone. You've heard me do a few episodes on it, but today I've got two fantastic questions about tone that I'm giving the answers to. I think you're going to like this episode, and I hope you won't miss a minute.
Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Goodwin, and I'm so glad you're with me today. Thank you, as always, for your shares and your downloads, and for being a subscriber. And thank you to all of you who have left a review over on iTunes. I sure do appreciate it. I've been getting them and reading them on the air and giving you a shout out. They really help me in the search ranking. So if you have 2 or 3 minutes and can jump over there and leave me a review, an honest review, I sure would be grateful. Wanted to tell you very quickly before we dive into today's content, which is I'm answering another question today, two questions actually about tone. But I wanted to let you know I'm running another voice on video 5-day free challenge. I haven't done one in a while. They're very popular when I run them. Really fun. I do them in a closed Facebook group, and I teach a lesson every day via live stream, and then you get to post assignments, and I give you feedback. Every participant, every video, I give you feedback. It's going to be a busy week. Starts April 8th. I'd love it if you'd join me. Even if you're not doing video, don't worry about it. You're going to get some great voice technique and feedback from me. So you can check out the link in the show notes, or you can just go over to the website, captivatetheroom.com, click the Work With Me button, and you'll see the 5-day challenge. You'll see where to go. Would love to have you. Love to work with you. All right, so today I'm going to answer a question. It's actually two questions, but they're very similar. I've been answering questions a lot lately, kind of in a, I don't know if you'd call it a series, but answering questions that are coming into my YouTube channel and here on the podcast. Really enjoying doing that. So thank you. If you have questions, send them in. You can send them to my email, Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, at CaptivateTheRoom.com. I'd love to hear from you, hear what your challenges are, and give you a solution here on the air. So I've got two questions, both of which are related to tone. I'll read both of them and then I'm going to combine my answer. Hi, I'm a corporate trainer at a telecommunications company. Feedback I've received time and time again is on my tone, which you know me and tone. I receive comments after each class and they always say positive things such as patient, caring. And I always get some comments saying unapproachable. I've even received this feedback from my husband. It is something I'm trying to work on, but would love to get some guidance from you. And then we have another tone question. I work at a call center, and my coach says I sound condescending with my tone. I don't sound confident. You know how you raise your pitch at the end of a question? She says I'm doing that with statements, too. So I'm going to address all of this tone stuff, but I want to say something about the pitch at the end of the question, because that's not really a tone issue. That's what I call a lilt, and it's very common. In fact, everybody pretty much, whether they realize it or not, has a pattern. They have a voice pattern that they've laid in. It could very well be like a barrier. It is protecting you in some way. It's linked to your psychology of the voice story. So what happens with a lilt, and I hear a lot of people that have them, especially on the ends of sentences, like this person says, Yes, they're great at the end of a question, but on a sentence, not so much. So it's a pattern that you've laid in. And from the psychological perspective, what it is telling us, what we are doing in our subconscious mind when you constantly go up, you know, like when you're talking and you do a lot of this, which I hear a lot in people, it makes me say, what's up with the doubt? Why are you asking my permission? Why are you so unsure about what you're telling me? That's what we hear in our subconscious mind. Because think about it. We do that on a question. It works on a question. What happens on a question is we're looking for an answer. When we make a statement as the expert and we have a pattern of going up, we no longer sound confident. We no longer sound like the expert. We are asking for permission, asking, making sure it's okay. And that's not confident. That's not confident. So that pattern has to be leveled out on those statements. And it's in your muscle memory. See, all of this stuff is in the top layer of your muscle memory. Whatever you've put in, whatever your subconscious mind put in, whatever your story is, it's there. And no amount of thinking it through in the moment will adjust it. And you don't want to be doing that anyway. Who's got, you need to be thinking about everything you're doing with your voice. You just have to add in, we have to add in a new layer of muscle memory. We have to change those bad voice habits. So there I go down the rabbit hole. So let me talk about tone. I have a lot to say about this. You know, tone is, I believe I've done a couple of episodes on tone. Oh, you know what? Let me say one more thing about that lilt. I don't want you to get confused with pitch play. Pitch play are the highs and lows, and I don't think I've done an episode on pitch. Maybe I have. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something that you do over and over and over and over the same way, like you lift up at the end of a sentence. I've had people that there's anything could be in a pattern. You say three words and pause. You say three words and pause. You know, you lilt up, you go fast. You go fast and then you go slow. You take extra pauses, anything like that. So I don't want you to get that lilt confused with pitch play. Pitch play is great. It's the melody. It's where the trust is built. But lilt, a lilt like at the end of a sentence, a constant lifting, no good. All right, so let's talk about tone. We've got a couple of things here. She says, sometimes she gets patient and caring. Sometimes she gets unapproachable. And the other person says, sound condescending. So here's the thing. It's all linked to your psychology. I'm going to start with an example. I was working with someone the other day. And I was having this person talk to me, tell me stories about your life. And they told me stories of, tell me about this, tell me about that, tell me stories about their life. Great. Now let's talk about your work. Started talking about work. Voice totally changed. There were things in the voice about work talk that weren't in there about life talk. So we have triggers. Triggers are like, what triggers do is they throw up masks. So I think that's what's happening here. First and foremost, let me back up a little bit. A lot of people don't talk in their real voice. And I'm not meaning to be negative, but it happens more with women than men. The reason it happens more with women than men is women have more societal implications on their voice. Let's just call it what it is. Society says, oh, you're supposed to be cute. And if you're not, if you are too strong, well, you know what you are. It's not a nice word. So there's lots of societal implications on women's voice. This goes all the way back in history, all the way back. I did an episode with that woman, Dawn. I don't remember her last name right off the top of my head. I think it was Dawn Purcell. Fascinating episode about voice and the history of women's voices. Really cool. Go back and check it out. So a lot of people don't talk in their real voice. A lot of people talk in their real voice when they're comfortable. And when they aren't comfortable, they talk in an alternate voice. And that trigger, whatever triggers the uncomfortable, knocks you into that layer of muscle memory that you have trained yourself to go into when you are uncomfortable. And I believe one of the other questions I answered on here was, sometimes I talk this way, sometimes I don't. This is applicable to that question as well. So there's lots of potential issues that are going on in these two questions. So I'm giving very broad answers. First and foremost, it's possible that you're not talking in your real voice for reasons like, I'm not comfortable. I don't know what I'm talking about. I am scared. I am worried about what they're going to think. I'm trying to please other people. And so when we are trying to do any of those things, we could start doing something like this. Or let's say we need to prove. So see, these triggers throw up masks, which are also can be barriers. I'm unsure, so I'm going to make sure you know. And then we hear needing to prove. So when we hear patient and caring, we could be hearing who you really are. When we hear unapproachable, maybe there's part of it that you're not exactly sure, or you're more afraid of judgment, or could be any number of reasons. So we go into these different voices that we've laid into our muscle memory, and these triggers set them off, and a mask comes up, like be louder, be harsher, be softer, be sweeter, and it creates a barrier. And in that, the person says, ooh, unapproachable. Ooh, condescending. Now, is that who you really are? If so, then that's your real voice. But if that's not who you really are, that's a mask and a barrier that you're using to protect yourself. I'll tell you something I've seen a lot lately. And I don't, unfortunately, I don't work with that many younger people. Most of the people that work with me, they're usually in their late 30s, 40s, 50s, even older. But lately, I've had a lot of people in their 20s, and I love it. But you know what? Almost every one of them is compensating, just like what I'm talking about here, because they want to come across older. They want to come across, it's a respect thing. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, I'm playing with the big boys. I know that I'm younger. I know I have less experience, and I want to be taken seriously. So we put this mask in place that creates the barrier. So I'm going to go back to the unapproachable. Maybe you are, and I'm just guessing here. Okay, everybody's different. Every voice is different. I could have you in front of me and we could talk about it, and I could immediately hear your voice and tell you what it is. But maybe you get in a room where you're young and you've got a room full of older people, and that subconscious mind kicks in and says to you, they don't think you know what you're talking about. So you throw up, your subconscious mind throws up a mask, and next thing you know, you're unapproachable. Your subconscious mind was just trying to protect you. Now, I'm not saying everybody has 50 shades of voices, but I'm saying that triggers throw up masks that create barriers, and then that gets put in the muscle memory. I've used the example of the man that I worked with a couple of years ago a lot. Really smart guy, really loved him. And as soon as I started working with him, I said, what's up? What are you trying to prove? And he said, how did you know that? And I said, I hear it all over your voice. And he, you know, I was teaching him about psychology of the voice, and we were tearing these barriers and masks down. And he said, I've spent my whole life wanting to prove my worth. Those things get laid into the muscle memory, and you get some trigger. Like, here's a perfect example. Now, this didn't happen, but here's a perfect example. This guy wanted to prove to his father, he gets in a sales call, he gets in a business situation, and something triggers him. What's he going to go to? And it's been in there a long time. That's the thing. You didn't lay it in yesterday and you're doing it today. This stuff started getting laid in when you were five, and it just keeps building. You know, I work with people and we can trace a lot of stuff back to when they were little and growing up in high school. We can trace stuff back to 6 months ago, and it just keeps compounding. But it's all linked to your psychology of the voice, the core, which is oftentimes something like, I don't feel worthy, or I have to prove something, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not smart enough, or they're judging me, or, you know, whatever. I struggled for years with not believing I was going to be heard because I wasn't even allowed to speak, right? And that goes into the muscle memory. And then we get triggered and boom, there it is. So we have to get rid of, well, we can't get rid of anything in our muscle memory. It's there. But we're going to draw from the top layer. So if we have patterns, if we have barriers, if we have masks, and you do, whether you realize it or not, you just have to lay in something new, get your sound flowing, level a pattern out. You know, I have a couple of things that I do that can level a pattern out in a week or 10 days. We have to put something new to draw from. And when we do, we rewrite that story. So that was kind of a long explanation on that. But something in there is your real voice. Something in there is a trigger voice that is masks and barriers. And here's the thing. That will get worse. That will get worse. Most likely not better. Now, something else that could be happening here is holding your voice. I can't even begin to tell you the number of people that I work with that the first thing I say, well, you're holding your voice. Your sound is stuck, but you're also holding your voice. You've got the death grip on it. You're not letting it flow out. And that is out. That comes out of fear. That comes out of, I don't feel safe here. I'm going to get attacked. I'm going to get verbally attacked. I'm going to get bullied. I'm going to get shot down. So you're speaking, but there is a strain on your voice. Your subconscious mind has the death grip on the words. You've laid that into your muscle memory. So when you're holding on to your voice, you're holding on to your words. You're not letting us have them, you could easily come across as unapproachable or condescending. And I'm going to give you another example. You're in an argument with someone, and no matter what you say, it's not right. No matter what you say, they're going to come, but they're going to be mad. Okay, so you think, well, I'm not going to say a lot, and I'm going to try to be like it's okay. Like you'll say, whatever you think. There is such a hold on there that is going to be interpreted entirely different. You're trying not to fight. You're trying not to be upset. You're trying to be accommodating. You love this person. You want them to know that you support them 100%, but you just can't say anything else right. They get upset about everything. So you say, whatever you think. They hear the strain and they say, subconscious mind leads, doesn't care what you think. Totally disrespecting you. Totally thinks you're an idiot. That's what we perceive in our head. So we have to get the sound unstuck. We have to get the sound flowing out. The words, you have to speak your truth, but you got to do it beautifully without these barriers, without these masks. Unapproachable, to me, could be a hold. I'm not letting you have this. I'm not letting you in. Maybe I raise my volume. Maybe I shorten my tone. Maybe that's the mechanics of it. But what is really happening in the psychology of the voice is, I don't like you. You scare me. I'm done with you. Okay? Here's the thing. This is where it gets really crazy. And I was talking about this I was interviewed on a podcast the other day. I don't know if I explained it as well as I wish I had, but the reason we want to get rid of all this mess is because guess who else has triggers? Your audience. And you maybe have heard me talk about this before. Like, I have loud aversion. If you start yelling at me, I'm going to shut down faster than a shop going out of business. I can't handle it. Because look at my upbringing. Everybody has triggers. And so we want to really have a voice that makes people listen, that flows, that has variety, that covers all of our bases, touches all of the emotions. Because if you just do one thing, there is a really good chance somebody's going to come along in your life and it's going to be a trigger for them. A lot of people I've worked with over the years have a loud aversion trigger. They just can't handle it when people start hammering at them. Some people it's speed, some people it's slow, some people it's pause. But everybody's got triggers. So defensive can be, defensive is a mask. It's push. You've heard me talk about push. I'm scared. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're thinking. So I'm going to start pushing. I've thrown up a push mask. I'm really just protecting myself. But you don't know that. You hear and then think, unapproachable, condescending, jerk. We repel them away. Trying to bypass real connection, throwing up a mask. Trying to please, throwing up a mask. Oh, I think that would be great. That's not what you want at all, but it's what you think they want. So, you know, and if you did it that time, trust me, you've done it a lot of times. Because you're probably a people pleaser. And when did you become a people pleaser? When you were a child. I was a massive people pleaser. I still struggle with it. You've heard me talk about it. You've heard me talk about it a lot. You didn't want my mom upset. I didn't. So I learned as a young child to never raise my voice, never express anything that had any negativity was not allowed. Everything was wonderful. And so I learned early as a child to read responses and read what I needed to do and navigate the situation and be what I thought they needed me to be. And you can't imagine the number of people that are going to relate to what I just said. I've worked with hundreds of them. That's not a negative. It's an is thing. So there's all these psychological things from your life and their life, and you've put them in the muscle memory. You know, when I think about condescending, the first thing I think of is I'm unsure. I have worked with so many people. I have known so many people. In fact, I was at an event last night. And I just really try to find the good in everybody, really to a fault. And there was a woman there and it was all, well, I want to tell you how much money I made last year. And I am the number one person, you know, I just get paid to just, I mean, everybody loves me. Right. So there was a psychology of the voice story there. Condescending. Well, don't you know what to do? I remember being condescending in the early years of my career because I didn't know what I was talking about, right? this was more like when I was directing plays. I remember the first few plays I directed, and I was in way over my head. I'm not saying this person is in over their head. I'm just giving you things to think about. Things that you are experiencing, have experienced, that your subconscious mind put into your voice. You have a volatile parent, you had a volatile teacher, you had a volatile sibling, you had a volatile boss. Maybe you learned to be defensive, but I understand. I know what you're saying. Condescending. Or maybe you think you know more than you do. Maybe you think you know more than they do. Right? See, I don't like to criticize because I couldn't do customer service. And that doesn't mean I don't like people. It means I'm not good at that, and it means I only have limited patience in certain areas. Like, I'm not crafty. I can't do crafts. I wish I could. I'm not crafty. I don't have the patience. So all of these psychology of the voice things, they're creating barriers that you have laid in your voice, and it's all going down on the subconscious mind. Sometimes you're aware of you're doing it, like especially with a spouse or a sibling or somebody, you make a conscious effort to make it clear how you feel, but a lot of times you don't. You're on the job, you don't want to be that way, but it is in your muscle memory. And so the thing that you do, most masks, not all of them, but a lot of it is push. Well, it's really both. I mean, the negative ones are push. Condescending, unapproachable, shorter tones, louder tones, clipped, push. Patient, caring, kind. Well, it could be who you really are, but it could also be a pull. I'm fascinated when I watch people, and I watch a lot of videos for people, and I have a lot of clients. I watch a lot of footage, and they'll snap. And they'll immediately swing the pendulum back super nice. That is so much work. So much work. What we really want to go for is this. First, listen. Listen. Don't be thinking about what you're going to say when they're saying. Don't even be thinking about it. Listen. Because when you don't listen, you're all figuring up in your head what your comeback's going to be. Even if it's not negative, it's going to have an edge to it. It's going to have a barrier, and you are going to potentially get the note, you're condescending or you're unapproachable. Listen. Respond, don't react. You've heard me talk about this before. Know your triggers. Start paying attention to what you do with your voice. What sets you off? I know what sets me off. Boy, you don't want it. No, I have spent years working on the triggers that set me off because I used to be a major toner, major tone. I couldn't use my words in my early 20s because I had never been able to. So I relied solely on tone and body language. And I had to figure out what those triggers were and why I couldn't just say what I needed to say and let people know who I was. Easier said than done, Tracy, I know. But that's what Speak Your Truth Beautifully is all about. What are your triggers? What's your psychology of the voice story? Listen. Take in a breath, respond, and know it doesn't matter what they think. It really doesn't. And here's the thing, you don't even know what they're thinking. You know, I ask this question a lot of times in groups that I teach. What are you afraid of? Well, I'm afraid of, you know, they're judging me, and I'm afraid they're going to think I'm stupid, and I'm afraid they're going to think I'm, you know, don't know what I'm talking about. And do you know that? Did you ask them? Well, no, I think. We don't know what they're thinking. And what I have found when I work with speakers, 9 times out of 10, they're thinking that people are thinking that they're not any good. And 9 times out of 10, the people are thinking, man, I wish I was that good. We don't know what they're thinking. So at the end of the day, all of this goes back to masks and barriers and protection and laying all this stuff in the muscle memory to keep us safe. And all of that stuff that you are putting in is keeping you from getting the result that you want. I believe you can get anything you want if you know how to say it, if you know how to talk to people, if you know how to ask for it, if you know how to speak your truth beautifully. So that's what is happening. Maybe real voice, maybe not real voice. Protection, no protection. You know, triggers, things that are laid into the muscle memory, masks and barriers. And at the end of the day, is it working for you? No. So the answer is listen, figure out your triggers first. If my trigger is I sound condescending when I think that they think I'm stupid, start looking at that. You know, I had a big one on, I didn't like to be told what to do because I felt like that meant I was less than. I had to really get through that. That was bad. That was when I was younger, a lot younger. What are your triggers? What's setting you off that's making you jump into a tone? Well, probably because you don't feel heard, for one thing. Could be a million things. So you got to address that. You got to do the inner work on that. Then listen, take in a breath, respond, and remember, you don't know what they're thinking. And if they have a problem, chances are decent that it might not even be about you. It might be, but if you can communicate, if you can speak your truth beautifully, you can get through it with no problem. So I think these were great questions. You can't imagine the number of people that probably the number one thing I get emails about and questions about and talk to about is tone. Brought into companies a lot of times for tone. People talking in tone. People are talking in tone because they're scared to death. They've got things that they need to look at and they need to learn how to say what they need to say beautifully. So thank you so much for these questions. This was from Karina and Horror Fan. Thank you. I hope those answers helped. And you know, if you need more information or need any help, don't hesitate to reach out. You can find me over at CaptivateTheRoom.com. But that's it for today. I can't wait for the next question. Send them in and I'll give you an answer. But until I see you next time, you know what to do. Get out there and speak your truth. Just do it beautifully.
Thanks for listening to Captivate the Room with Tracy Goodwin. You can reach out to her at CaptivateTheRoom.com and be sure to grab the Voice Formula, a free video series that will help you start making a bigger impact with your voice today. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes.